Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandira Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. How to deal with insecurities is tonight's topic. So let's talk about how many of us have dealt with insecurities within ourselves, whether it be personally or professionally. I know we all dealt with some form of insecurities to a degree. Some insecurities we worked through, some just have always just been embedded in us, right? But sometimes our insecurities can be either extremely debilitating or destructive from a negative aspect. And then on the contrary, sometimes our insecurities can be linked to our own vulnerabilities in life, which is only an indication of us being strong, in essence of still learning and growing as a natural human being. Our vulnerabilities may lead to mistakes at times, or mistakes that's resulting in lessons learned throughout life. However, our insecurities are only inclinations of what we perceive we are in lack thereof, or our inability in measuring up to others who at times we may envy or adore as an individual. In my opinion, having a competitive spirit or mindset can often lead to increased ambitions or constant inadequacies in people. Whereas, you know, we can get to a place of either beating ourselves up or exhaustively trying to fit in where we don't compare in life. And sometimes that can be torturous. So today I will talk about insecurities and how we can actually and realistically deal with our own insecurities in life, relationships, partnerships on a professional aspect. Okay? So getting down to the nitty-gritty of this all, I wanted to first address the fact of why do most people become insecure. Now, according to my investigation and evaluation, which leads to my personal opinion, I think that most people become insecure because of lack of trust in oneself, always having this outdo attitude or mindset, or constantly comparing and competing oneself to others, or someone who's really a POS, in other words, piece of shit, for no reason. Meaning, these people are manipulative, abusive, disrespectful, and controlling. So a lot of times, these people are insecure, so feel as though they have to be a POS to other people. Okay? Having an inclusive mindset, whereas feeling like the world revolves around them, only to realize other people's views oppose their own, can also cause a person to feel insecure when everyone is not following the leader. Okay? False belief and perception of oneself can, you know, are the reasons why most people become insecure. So when I came up with the conclusion that the lack of trust in oneself can cause a person to be insecure, it allows that person to open the door to people who are not trustworthy to come into their lives and do things that can lead to them either being betrayed or lead to the person crossing them in some type of way. And it all stemmed from that person's lack of trust in themselves. So it's almost as if they're mirroring or reflecting onto others, deflecting onto others, that they don't really have a healthy trust in themselves. Therefore, they attract those types of people who are not trustworthy because they don't have a healthy trust for themselves. You know, so this can often lead to a person feeling insecure, developing anxiety because they can't trust other people. You know, and sometimes it could just be for no apparent reason, and not just them intuitively, you know, discerning whether a person can be trusted or not. Okay, so a lot of times when a person is distrustful of another person, it's because, you know, what they think that a person may do, they probably the ones who end up doing, you know, onto others. So, in for example, if someone had been hurt, most likely 9 times out of 10, that person have hurt another person, because hurt other people, right? Or when someone has been betrayed, 9 times out of 10, you know, that person have betrayed someone else in their life, right? So these patterns can happen, and it's all linked to the lack of trust in oneself, okay? So then when I said that always having this outdo attitude or mindset, whereas it's not so much of the person developing an ambition and learning and appreciating who their competitors are. You know, a lot of times they just have this thing, how can I be better than this person? And when you have this better than mindset, or how you can be better than someone, it always leads to failure or destruction or self-destruction, because it's like your ambition is not in a healthy aspect. Your ambitions is linked to something that you just want to outdo the person. It's not so much of you just developing, you know, your abilities and skills in life and being influential. You know, simply just being that, you know, can be a being in a progressive state. But when you have the outdo mentality, you know, an attitude, it can be destructive over time, because that means, you know, people will go to the extent of, you know, sabotaging other people because they want to succeed and be successful, belittling other people because they don't feel as confident within themselves. That's what an outdo attitude or mindset can actually lead to. And it's only because these people are feeling insecure within themselves. And then I talked about constantly comparing and competing oneself to others. You got to understand that everybody's journey is not the same. It's really not the same. So when you compare yourself to someone else, you comparing where you don't compete, because you don't know what that, where that person, you know, or what that person had to go through in life to be where they at. You know, sometimes people could be struggling, but the struggles that they are going through may seem effortlessly. It may not show apparently on a person that they are struggling or going through anything. And because it's, you know, that person is still happy within themselves, you know, other people might perceive it as, oh, who that person think they are, or this, that, the third, or prejudge the person and not really understanding or ever walking a mile in their shoes. You know, not understanding their life path or what they had to go through in life. You know, so competing or competing where you don't compare is not good. You know, you got to understand that your journey is your journey in life. You got to understand the karma that you develop in life is what you, you know, have put out into the universe. And basically, like they said, what goes around comes around. So basically, what you put out, how you treated other people, all of that plays a factor in your life journey. So you got to think, at the end of the day, how could you possibly compare yourself to someone else? Now, the only way you can actually compare yourself to someone is if you are on the same life path or journey of someone, and you want to use them as a mentor or utilize them as a mentor, and you want to compare certain stages or position that you want to achieve in life on a professional aspect, but you want to compare yourself and your abilities to another person in the progressive state of you becoming a better person for you. Not because you want to outdo somebody else, but because you want to develop over time as a solid person. That's what's most important. Okay? And people who are, you know, that have insecurities are, you know, people who are a piece of shit, you know, inside, and they treat other people that way. As I said, some of the characteristics of those people are manipulative, abusive, you know, abusive sometimes physically, emotionally, or mentally to another person, disrespectful, you know, disrespectful to others because they don't have a healthy respect for themselves, or just simply being controlling because of being egotistical. So they ran by their ego rather than by emotional intelligence. Okay? So, you know, that's my whole thing, you know, when it comes down to people being a POS or people just being arrogant, cocky, you know, conceited for no apparent reason, you know, and just having this big eye, little use towards people is not a good thing. Okay? So I always say your attitude determines your altitude in life. And it doesn't matter how much money you have as a person. If you don't have a good attitude or good demeanor, you know, people not going to want to be around you. You're not going to have, you know, a warm and welcoming life. Okay? Especially if you are a person who's manipulative, abusive, disrespectful, or controlling. Okay? Another aspect is having an inclusive mindset, where I said people feeling as though the world revolves around them. Sometimes people who are like that can be selfish, and having that selfish mindset is not cool. And sometimes when they see that other people can be just as selfish as them, or somebody got it better than them, you know, in life, sometimes that could lead to their own insecurities. You know, when they realize that, you know, it's not just about them, it's about other people. And a lot of times when people feel that their everything revolves around, you know, them, you know, at the end of the day, those people are less empathetic towards other people. And when you're less empathetic towards other people and you don't look at the broader picture in life, sometimes your small thinking and behavior can be destructive, self-destructive, where you're not only sabotaging other people, but you're sabotaging yourself as an individual and your reputation in life, okay? And then, like I said, developing false belief and perception of oneself. When you don't have a healthy, you know, belief about yourself and you're not that ambitious with life, sometimes, you know, that can lead to a debilitating insecurity about yourself. So usually 9 times out of 10, you know, based off of how you feel other people perceive you is how you develop your perceptions and belief of yourself. And that's not healthy or kosher for you to be on a life journey in life, you know. So sometimes you just got to reevaluate your beliefs and perceptions of yourself in order to combat any insecurities that you have within yourself, on, you know, I would say internally and externally. Okay? Because whatever you're going through internally is going to reflect on the outside. So you got to take a 360 evaluation of what's going on the inside and what's going on around you, and who and what type of people you got around you that's either catering to your insecurities, and or what's putting you in a position of enablement where, you know, you're not ever graduating to the next level because someone is enabling you to be weak on a weak level mentally. So this is you going through a cycle of insecurity all the time because of a person either enabling you or causing you to be in a debilitating state where they are catering to the fact of you being weak or having insecurities within yourselves, if that makes sense. Okay, so now that I talked about in detail why do most people become insecure, I want to talk about what is insecurity, right? So insecurities is when a person isn't certain about something or someone. It can cause feelings of anxiety in a person, and it's a clear indication of a lack of confidence. That's what insecurity all about. It could be a man, woman, or child feeling that way. Okay? So, how do most people develop insecurities within their life? Is by being a people pleaser. It's really unhealthy. Developing a false belief and pride about oneself can cause a person to develop insecurities. And going through childhood traumas, sometimes, oftentimes, not all the time, religious background can lead to a person's insecurities based off of their doctrines or what they have to follow or go through. A person's inadequacies in one's abilities and or appearance. And the lack of trust or ambition in oneself is how people develop insecurities over time. So, being a people pleaser, like I said, it's unhealthy because at the end of the day, it's like you're more concerned about someone else's happiness and well-being over your own happiness and well-being. And this is, can cause a person to be in a constant state of insecurity, a cycle, all the time because you're feeling as though that, oh, okay, you know, I have to be in a constant state of being selfless. Selfless versus selfishness, okay? Selfless is when you realize that you are empathetic and yes, you understand, you have, you can understand other people, what they're going through, you know, and you just want to be of help and assistance to them. Now, if you're doing that all the time and you don't have one inkling of being selfish or I would say self-sufficient for yourself, you know, that can lead to you being insecure because then not only are you being a people pleaser, but you're looking for validation from those people to validate you being a good person, and that's not cool, okay? So to combat that is to focus on not just being selfish, but self-sufficiency. Get yourself to a point where you say, I deserve to be happy. I deserve to focus on my well-being, my mental health, my emotional stability. Those things are important as a person, okay? But when you don't develop those things and you don't have a healthy self-sufficiency about yourself or ambition, you know, you allow other people to be in control of your life rather than you being in control of your life and how you want to live your life in a fulfillment way, okay? So, as I said, developing false belief and pride about oneself. You know, some people get stuck in the cycle of fake it till they make it. Now, I understand sometimes fake it till you make it can lead to manifestations in life or where a person wants to or would like to be in life. But when you faking it until you making it and there's no progression, meaning, give an example, someone who's trying to measure up to the Joneses. You know, always, you know, exhausting their financial pockets, you know, because they want to meet on a material level the Joneses, you know. They want to look a certain way. And when you get stuck in that cycle, it can lead to a false belief of who and what you are and a pride that is not 100% worthy of just being authentic, okay? So if you're operating from an inauthentic aspect, you know, you're not going to be that secure within yourself because you're going to feel that, you know, your pockets or other things outside of yourself material wise is what determines your value in life, and that's not cool. You know, because when you don't have those things to define, material things to define your worth, then it's like, what do you have? At the end of the day, all you have is yourself, right? Right. So childhood traumas could constantly be, a parent constantly telling their child what they are not and what they are, okay? And what they are not basically saying that, you know, they can't measure up to, let's say, being somebody in life versus, you know, telling them what they are, or you are a loser, or you this, you know, all the negative aspects, you know, or being treated a certain way, being mistreated as a child, things of that sort, you know, and that can lead to that person growing in their adult life, having all of those negative, you know, statements and words, not only from parents, but from teachers and adults that they came across in their life, telling them what they are and what they're not, can lead to a person feeling insecure and not really closing that bridge, you know, because they have these different voices in their head telling them what they're not. Now, some children are traumatized, but they also have this attitude where they want to prove these people wrong. And in wanting to prove these people wrong, yeah, they succeed, but are they ever healed and happy in life? That's the thing. So sometimes, you know, the ambitions and the motivation could be there, but it's like at the end of the day, especially if a child is, you know, under a parent that's narcissistic, that parent that's narcissistic will never give that child the approval to help them bridge the gap or whatever is missing within them. So it's like a never-ending cycle, no matter how successful that person be in life. But they looking for that person to validate something that will never happen. And that can lead to insecurities stemmed from childhood traumas. So sometimes, even as an adult, you have to reassess the situation and realize when it comes down to healing, you have to heal yourself first and understand that you're not going to always get the closure and healing from other people, you know, because that's not within your control. What's in your control is how successful you are and how much you are able to go on your healing quest of acknowledging that is what you need. Okay, and then I talked about religious background. Certain doctrines from a religion requires a man or a woman or child to do certain things. And based off of that cycle of life or belief, it can affect them in their adult life. You know, it can be conflicting, you know, especially if they get into a romantic relationship or a biracial relationship and they realize that the person who they are in love with or someone who they want to have a family with, their beliefs oppose each other. So sometimes that can lead to an insecurity when a person being successful in life, or not even just a romantic relationship, but just on a professional aspect of going for a position in a job and feeling like they got so much challenges, you know, against them because of their religious background. So a lot of times these people feel like they have to have an outdo mindset as far as being overly skillful, you know, and, you know, educated in order to kind of overshadow their religious background and be accepted in either a social setting or professional setting in life as far as, you know, the work aspect. Sometimes that happens. And then inadequacies in one's abilities and appearance. We all go through that to a degree. You know, when we feel that we don't have certain gifts or talents as someone else, we feel inadequate. We don't feel that we are worthy or valuable. And that's not good. And then when it comes down to appearance, especially, you know, women that feel that they have to be a certain way or follow the standard of beauty or be something that they're not in particular, can lead to inadequacies and insecurities in a woman. You know, especially when a woman feels threatened by another woman because of how she looks, you know, how much money she has, and therefore feel like they are worthless. And that's not good. That's not good because at the end of the day, there's so much value in you that you may not see in yourself, you know, because you're so busy trying to look at, you know, another woman and what she has compared to what you don't have. And that's not cool. How about being a good person? You just being a person who, you know, are nurturing. You know, those are good qualities to have as a woman that's innately in a woman, you know, to be such a way. And then, you know, just being a beautiful person on the inside out, you know, can combat any insecurities that a person have, especially if you're going to compare yourself to someone else. You know, always look at the pros and cons with yourself, you know, and don't just look at the negative aspect, but look at the positive aspects of what you have as a woman or as a man. Okay. And then, like I said, the lack of trust and ambition in oneself can lead to insecurities. So if you don't have a healthy trust for yourself, knowing that if you don't try, how would you ever know if you can succeed? So at least trying, taking that first step towards something could help combat any insecurity that you have, right or wrong, you know. And then at least trying can lead to stimulating that ambitious part of yourself and understanding something new about who and what you are when you have a healthy trust for yourself, okay? And know what you want in life, know what you won't do. And my whole thing is this, you know, never do anything that you're gonna regret in life. If you know that you're going to regret it, don't indulge it. Don't do it. Don't consider it, you know, because sometimes people can never get over the guilt, you know, that they may have participated in or may have exuded to other people. So the way you do that is, you know how people say the saying, don't do your parents may tell a child, don't do anything that I won't do, or a friend may say that. That's only because, you know, if you know that you're not going to regret it, or if you're going to regret it, don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, so that's just my opinion when it comes down to, you know, keeping a level head and being able to focus on your emotional stability and mental health in life. But like I said, if you're going to regret it or you have done the act already, all you can simply do is forgive yourself and move along. Okay, if you know better, you do better eventually along the line. That's how I sum it up to be in how to combat that insecurity. Okay, especially when you stay stuck in guilt and, you know, doubt for too long, you know, you're going to always have a lack of trust of yourself. And, you know, you may see other people as not trustworthy because of who and what you may feel that you are. So it's like you might deflect on other people, you know, whatever insecurity that you may have, which is not cool. So now that I talked about why do most people become insecure, what are insecurities, and how do most people develop the insecurities, now I'm going to talk about what I am most insecure about. And I'm going to explain in detail about what those insecurities are. But before we even get to that, we're going to take a break. Okay, and we're back. So I'm going to talk about what am I most insecure about. Okay, so I think that some people may have it in common with me, but the most thing is failure. And that could be failing at anything I attempt to do in life. Sometimes, you know, going back and forth within myself of trying to decide, do I want to try or do I don't want to try? You know, it could be debilitating in a sense to where as I feel like, okay, if I can't, you know, if I don't try, I feel like as though I'm not going to succeed at it. Or if I do try, I want to do this to perfection. So, when it comes down to failure, it can lead to me not doing something versus wanting to do something in the most, you know, like perfectionist way. So it's like out being a overachiever could be, you know, sometimes a weakness, you know, it can lead to insecurity, you know, because at the end of the day, when I think of failure, the way I look at it is as not being good enough, or these are just certain beliefs that I have, or feeling defeated before even trying, you know, things like that. That's on a personal level. When, like I said, attempted to do anything in life, or when it comes down to relationship, not being a perfect, ideal, you know, girlfriend, or, you know, wife, you know, wife to be, or something of that sort, you know, it can lead to me feeling insecure. But at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to, or boiled down to, developing a healthy security within myself, especially when it's pertaining to something I want to attempt in life, I've learned to understand that there's a difference between being a perfectionist and actually trying something and progressing at it, and then realizing if, you know, I don't succeed, that it's okay. It's okay, and to try again. Okay, so I came across this acronyms of failure, I think. Let me see. Hold on for 1 second. Okay, so the acronyms that I came up with, it says fail, attempt, and learning. And when I came across that statement in particular, I said, you know what, that seems pretty good, because, you know, at least I tried, okay? And I've learned that maybe not all things is gonna be, you know, good for me. So it's just a learning process. So I learned to look at things that I attempt in life as a learning process, you know, opposed to trying to be a perfectionist and pretending as though, oh, I'm the jack of all trade in particular, you know. So I feel like just that acronym alone, fail, attempt, and learning, is good enough for me, because like I said, it helps me to look at success differently. Another pet peeve that I realized when it comes down to failure, you know, people might have different definitions of failing, especially when it comes up down to giving up or just quitting. That's complete failure when it comes down to that. And a lot of times I've done that a lot. I know that one of my weaknesses are going through the process of something and being this close to succeeding and then turning my back and saying I don't want to complete it. Just being this close to completing something and be like, oh, I don't want to do it no more. You know, that's a weakness that I had, because maybe I didn't have that ambition, or I just didn't have that enough confidence to keep going, even though it was just this close, itty bitty close, and don't want to complete the process. So that's something that I learned about myself, and learning that, you know, if I'm going to do something, I need to do it to the end and not do it prematurely or in half measures. So I learned that over time. But, you know, when I was younger, let's say about 10 years younger, I used to just have this quitting mentality and being so close to completing a process of something. You know, so yeah, so I've learned to either combat quitting or giving up is to do my research first and to, you know, ask myself, evaluate, do I really want to go through the process of this? And if I start it, I'm going to finish it. So having that type of mentality helped me to combat the whole being a perfectionist or being so afraid of failing. Okay. Another aspect, major aspect in my life was the lack of balance between having masculine and feminine energy in life, in my life. In other words, being able to see how the balance between, let's say, having a father and mother in the home, I didn't see that. So I wouldn't know how, you know, a woman is supposed to treat a man, and I wouldn't know how a man's supposed to treat a woman, you know. So I would say, to sum it up, when it comes down to the balance between masculine and feminine energy, it would be from a private, public, personal, and professional aspect. So privately, like I said, it has more or less to do with romantic relationships that, you know, I may have, you know, or would like to have, and realizing that, okay, having an insecurity because I feel inadequate, I don't know how to treat a man or how I'm supposed to be treated, you know, as a young lady. That could have been, you know, my mindset 10 years prior, but, you know, or having a defeatist mindset, as in, why not even try? Let's just, you know, just let me just be single and, you know, just go with the fun of relationships, and not realizing that, you know, in the relationship, especially when you have masculine and feminine energy, you're going to go through hardship. You're going to go through struggles, down times, as much as the good times, you know. So I had to learn that over time and understand that, you know, being in relationships prematurely is not conducive towards, you know, me understanding the balance or having that balance between masculine and energy on a private level. Okay, so publicly could be, you know, not having someone to be next to me to protect me, or, you know, not having someone, you know, to actually care. Oh, okay, you know, having a masculine energy, calling to see, oh, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Or, you know, prior, like, not having that, or having the absence of my father not there to validate those things or to be there, you know, have caused the insecurity on a public level, you know, knowing that I didn't have a husband, or I don't have a, you know, a significant other, you know, there to, you know, publicly be there for me, you know. So I would say on a private, more intimate level and public level, I dealt with those insecurities, and especially, you know, looking at a couple who had that balance, you know, that masculine and feminine energy, and, you know, being able to see, you know, the success of their relationship, understanding and knowing that not all things are peaches and cream, but the fact that they are together, it made me look at it like I was inadequate, like I wasn't worthy of, you know, whatever I may have seen another woman as far as having that balance of masculine and feminine energy in her life. Sometimes that could have led to, you know, an insecurity, if that makes any sense, publicly, or just seeing how a man treats a woman in public, like him being affectionate to him, kissing, you know, a woman, hugging her, and, you know, really adoring and loving her, you know, watching that and seeing that, and, like, you know, not being envious, but wanting and desiring that, and but feeling inadequate, like, okay, am I worthy of that? You know, what do that woman have that I don't have that she can, you know, she gets that type of affection, you know? So these are the things that I've developed publicly, or, you know, just seeing on, you know, social media, people, couples together, and them having a good time on a vacation, you know, the man showing the woman off as his woman or his wife, not feeling as though I'm, you know, that, you know, they have to be a secret, because a lot of times, because I wasn't so much confident in myself, I may have gotten into relationships where, you know, of being a mistress or being a secret, you know, because I wasn't confident enough to be with someone who was proud of me on a level to want to show me off to other people and show how much they love me to the world, you know, from that public display, you know. So that led to a personal insecurity within myself because of the inadequacies that I feel like I didn't even have, or certain beliefs that I had towards men in particular, you know. And then on a personal level, I would say just being able to communicate with another masculine energy, how to respect the opposite, you know, sex, or, you know, how to get along with, you know, personal energy, because I never had a big brother, never had, you know, uncle around to show me how I'm supposed to be treated, never had my father to show me, you know, or validate certain things within myself or feminine energy within myself. So on a personal level, it's like I didn't know how to communicate or how to get along with, you know, that masculine energy and things of that sort, other than the fact of wanting to be like them. Because it's like, it's like when you be deprived of something so much, it's like you want to be like the opposite, you know, sex or whatever the case might be, and feel like you're balancing out the two. But I realized that as a woman, you can only be feminine. And I'm not talking about being a feminist, but the only quality that you can exude to achieve that balance of that masculine energy is by you being you and you being feminine. You know, and that's what I learned over time on a personal level. So based off of how you understand yourself as a woman, you know, it could be you going through, you know, certain phases through motherhood, you just being a sister, friend, you know, just going through different phases of your womanhood and things of that sort can help enhance your feminine aspect of who and what you are. And then you being able to attract that masculine energy to balance out everything, if that makes any sense. And then on a professional level, you know, I would say that maybe there were certain occupations that, you know, I feel that men should have, you know, and this is just on a hypothetical aspect, but certain professions that men may have that may have encouraged me to want to have, and that could be to achieve a certain salary or to have a certain salary, you know, to be able to support myself and, you know, my child, you know. And sometimes that can cause an imbalance, but I always stand clear of the fact that, you know, traditional aspect that a man's supposed to have a certain position and a woman's supposed to have a certain position in life, like as a nurturer and a man as a provider, you know, these are the beliefs that I had or learned over time. But I realized sometimes it could clash, because in this day and time, we don't go off of traditions no more. You know, you have women that have taken on roles as men because, like I said, because of a salary. It could be because of their reputation and prestige in life or what they want. And, you know, things are just totally different. But when it comes down to me in a professional aspect and having that traditional mindset, when I realized I didn't have a man to provide for me, you know, and to be there for me and to just, you know, have a masculine energy to nurture, it kind of made me feel inadequate, because it's like, okay, I don't have no man in a home to provide for me or to be a protector or whatever the case might be. So therefore, I feel like I have to take on that masculine role to be able to take care of myself and still take care of a home, which is kind of like challenging, but still lacking that balance of masculine and feminine energy, you know, if that makes any sense. So that have led to insecurities, because it's like, if I had to go out and be the breadwinner all alone by myself as a single parent, yeah, it give me a little accolades as far as, you know, being a hard worker, whatever the case might be, or what people may say, cliche, you know. But at the end of the day, I look at it like, dag, like, you know, when I'm going out to be a breadwinner, I don't know how to protect myself. So that's a vulnerability that I have, you know, as a woman, you know. So I would say from that professional aspect, it could be a little daunting and scary, you know. So, yeah. So that's one insecurity I had when it came down to the lack of balance between having a masculine and feminine energy. Then having a false belief about men is what affected me having a private, public, personal, professional relationship with masculine energy. And it all stemmed from what I was taught and the beliefs I developed over time. So one of the beliefs that I have developed was not feeling worthy to be treated in a respectable way, you know, just by my behaviors and what I have allowed as a young lady prior, you know, 10 years prior, whatever the case might be, because it's totally different. My perception is totally different now, especially having, you know, and developing standards as a young lady in the making of becoming a woman, you know. So some of the false beliefs I had was, don't accept anything from a man because he's going to want sex in return. Not true. Doesn't make it factual. Some men could really like a woman and just want to take her on a date, just be in her presence, talk to her, have a companionship. But I was taught not to accept anything from a man. Why? Because they're going to want sex. And if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want that or you don't want to be used, then don't accept anything from them. So that kind of caused a debilitating state, put me in a debilitating state, in inadequate and insecure state, because it's like, damn, like, what if a person, you know, or a man wants to show me a good time and he just want to do it because it makes him feel good as a man of being able to provide or to make me happy as a young lady or a woman in particular, you know? So that's one false belief that I had. And don't depend on a man because all he's going to do is lie to you and or mistreat you. And I'm like, okay, if I have this mindset or whatever the case might be, these are weak beliefs that I have. And, you know, sometimes that could be deflected on a man and cause a man to feel insulted, especially if he wants to be a provider and protector of me. And me having this type of mindset is not good. So me feeling like, okay, I can't depend on a man, but you know, I know that you have to be able to depend on yourself, but having that mindset, don't depend on a man because he's gonna lie to you or mistreat you. With my analytical mindset now, I looked at it as, okay, of course this will prevent me from having a healthy relationship. This will also help cause me to not have a healthy or respect or perception of myself if I'm gonna have this certain type of belief. And of course I'm gonna deflect this belief and attract that type of person that may lie to me or mistreat me because I don't know what it's like to be treated or to have an honest person. So in actuality, it's almost as if setting myself up for failure or to be in a relationship and automatically thinking that it's not going to be successful because this man is going to lie to me or this man is going to mistreat me because I'm depending on him. So it's like that mindset also can lead to a woman being so independent that she feel like I don't need a man or I can do battle by myself. I always, like I said, with my analytical mindset, I always realized that I didn't want to be in that aspect of feeling like, oh, okay, that I can't have a counterpart to balance out everything. It didn't feel good to me. It didn't feel right. But this is a belief that I had that, you know, I equated to all men that, you know, I may have came across throughout my lifetime, you know, and that's not good. So these are certain types of belief I had to, like, kill and, you know, just not acknowledge as a truth or fact, you know, when experiencing and seeing different. So another aspect, another belief, false belief that I had about men is when they, that I was taught is don't have any man around your daughters or leave them alone in the presence of a man. And that was just it. I wasn't taught why, other than the fact of, you know, preventing molestation or rape from happening to, you know, a daughter or whatever the case might be, or any female in the home. So having that mindset and just being stuck with the fact, okay, don't have any man around your daughters or leave them alone in the presence of men, automatically caused me to be distrustful of men. Not every man is going to want to rape or molest your daughter. They're going to want to protect you and may protect your daughter. You know, they don't, some men is not filthy or have that filthy mindset to want to do that. So like I said, I had to kill that belief system, only because at the end of the day, as they said, you know, it's a, you know, women may have gone through a history of molestation or rape that can cause a woman to feel victimized and develop these beliefs, and sometimes they pass it on prematurely to their daughters from an unhealed capacity, okay? Because that causes a lack of balance of masculine and feminine energy. Excuse me. So at the end of the day, I feel as though, okay, how can I change this negative belief into something positive? At the end of the day, when it comes down to, you know, protecting your daughters and things of that sort, I feel as though as a woman, you could follow that paradigm, you know, being mindful of the men that you keep around your children. Yes, you know, being judgmental in an aspect of understanding that, okay, this man that you are dealing with, he's not a pervert, or he's not a person who raped somebody or molested them. If you know that that man have not done that, or they don't have a perverted mindset or whatever the case might be, then at the end of the day, that should be the least thought on your mind when it comes down to thinking that a man is going to either molest or rape your daughter or whatever the case might be. Okay, but like I said, at the end of the day, a woman who values herself is going to attract another man of value, where he's going to respect and value his woman and any offsprings, especially if it's a daughter or son that she has at the end of the day. So if, as a woman, if you're damaged and you just have that mindset, you're not going to attract a man of value, a man of honor and respect, if you have that type of mindset towards every man that you meet. So I, like I said, I had to kill that belief, you know, whether I've experienced it or not. I still had to understand that my past is not going to dictate my future whatsoever. Okay, so now moving along to the fact of another insecurity that I had is not that being validated by a man's presence, his provision, his protection, and his productivity in my life. So I don't care what no woman say. At the end of the day, if you don't have the presence of a man just to balance out the masculine and feminine energy, you're going to feel inadequate. You're going to feel insecure about yourself. You're going to feel unworthy about yourself, especially if you don't have a man providing or protecting you or being productive in your life, helping you to become a better person. Those things could be daunting and torturous when you don't have the absence of a man's, when you experience in the absence of a man in your life and you don't have that balance. Okay, now don't get me wrong, some women feel like, oh, that's not 100% factual, because I don't have a man, but I'm still fine, I'm still okay, because I provide for myself, you know, and I'm good alone, you know, and that's okay. You could feel that way, but at the end of the day, you do want to feel attractive as a woman. You do want to attract the opposite sex, if it doesn't conflict with your sexuality. Now, if you are a feminist or you are a lesbian or whatever the case might be, this may not apply to you because you could care less about having a man's presence or provision or protection and productivity in your life. You could care less about that because you checking off all the lists of you being able to be sufficient within yourself. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, for a woman who do care about that balance of masculine and feminine energy, sometimes those aspects do validate a woman in certain attributes. When that man, you know, just being there to prevent other masculine energy from taking advantage of a woman, being able to provide, to let that woman know that she is worthy of, you know, the fact of having someone, you know, or just knowing that you have someone or that masculine energy that has your back, someone who's going to be protective over you, someone who's going to call to see how you doing, you know, how your mental health and well, you know, well-being and things of that sort. Having that to validate a woman, you know, it could bring a sense of security in her to let her know that I have someone that care. I have a masculine energy to balance out, you know, my femininity. You know, and then just being productive, that man being able to teach her things in life, help her to become a better, you know, person, a better woman, a better young lady, you know, just by off of the things he teach her or showing her and not just seeing, because you know how some men could see in a woman that she's beautiful inside and out, but that woman may not see it in herself. So sometimes it takes the man to actually do things to show that that woman is worthy and, is worthy and, what should I say? And is capable of being loved in a capacity to show that they can achieve those things, they can have those things, and it validates the woman in a sense. So I would say in the opposite spectrum of that, when I didn't have that, you know, part as far as having a man validate, you know, my femininity based off of his presence, his provision, his protection and productivity in my life, it did make me feel insecure, you know. So yeah, so now that I talked about those things, I want to talk about how to deal with insecurities. And before I even move along in that aspect, I want to just creep back up to the fact of just go back to how how I would say what also caused an insecurity. I would say that, in my opinion, for women who do desire to have that masculine and feminine energy, that one of the principles, and this has nothing to do with a false belief, but one of the principles is, you know, especially if you are a single parent, is to not put a man before your child. That's a principle, okay? Don't, especially if he does not have the title of actually being your husband and taking care of you and your children. That man should never be put before your children at all. But you got some women that are desperate to have a man in their life that they would actually put the man before their child, and that's not healthy whatsoever. Okay? So that's just my, you know, belief that I go by. That's healthy. It is healthy, and it's not a false belief, but it's healthy for me as a single parent and as a single mother to not do that. So, and not to just have any guy around my child, okay, or daughter, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's just not me, because of course I want a man of value, a man of respect, and a man of honor in my life and in my child's life, and to be able to have more offsprings for that person who I choose to marry in the future. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there as well. Okay, so how to deal with insecurities? Let's take a break and we'll be right back.